Lord God, for us, we thank you. We give you praise and honor and glory as we come tonight to remember and to grieve and, yes, to rejoice. We thank you. We bless your holy name. So be with us and among us by your Holy Spirit this night. Have mercy upon us, your children. In Christ's name, amen. They say it's always good to have full disclosure. And how appropriate is my sermon title, which was chosen a few days ago to what would happen to us today, just now, that the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Amen.
And so, you know, today I had a busy day, went to services in Queens and got all involved and get back here, and some folks from here were with me, and then I had set my phone alarm, but left it downstairs, and then went upstairs in my house and was reading through my stuff, what I had already put my sermon together, and I dozed off sitting up with the paper. When I jumped up, it was just time to get here. Missy had just rang the bell. I was calling. I was already running out, looking at my watch. My Lord, I just slept off. Didn't even realize slept off in exactly what I wore today. My clothes, my slacks. And then when I rushed over, guess what? The ceiling has fallen in the office. In Missy's office, half of the ceiling is down. Almost, or could have missed it, going in to get something, and the ceiling, half of it is down, the front half. She had just passed it. So I run in there, and we're getting overwhelmed trying to figure it out. Ron, we'll have to take a look tonight, but the gates of hell shall not prevail. How appropriate that I would have had this sermon title from Monday, and today the gates of hell will try to prevail. I'm so glad that Missy is all right, because she had just passed when it fell down. I was hugging her. She says, "You don't have to hug me." I says, "But I have to, because you're well." But the devil is a liar. He always wants to up God. But the gates of hell shall not prevail. This is the fifth day of the 7 days that changed the world, which I shared with you last night. And on Friday, the fifth day, following betrayal and arrest, imprisonment, desertion, false trials, denial, condemnation, beatings, and sentencing, Jesus carried his own cross to the place of the skull, where he was crucified with two other prisoners. And then on Saturday, Jesus lay dead in the tomb bought by a rich man named Joseph. That would be the sixth, and then Saturday, the seventh day. But friends, I want to take you back to another scripture for a brief moment. Jesus had said to Peter, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell will not prevail against it." And we have read that scripture oftentimes, and it really has not had much meaning sometimes, because we minimize it, because sometimes we forget how evil is in the world, how evil is subtle, and evil is constantly trying to up God, to do things against the people of God. Now my question tonight is, what are the gates of hell? What really does that mean? Does hell have a big gate that we have to beat up against? Is it locked with keys? The phrase "the gates of hell" is translated in some versions as the gates of Hades. The gates of hell or gates of Hades is found only once in the entire scriptures, and that is in Matthew 16:18. In this passage, Jesus is referring to the building of his church. And I tell you that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And at that time, Jesus had not yet established his church. In fact, this is the first instance of the word church in the New Testament. In other words, the church that Jesus is referenced to as his church is the assembly of people who have been called out of the world by the gospel of Christ. So the church that Christ is speaking about really is us. You and me. Not buildings, even though we need buildings to worship in, but the church, ekklesia in Greek, is you and me. We are the church. One of the better interpretations of the meaning of the phrase is as follows. In ancient times, the cities are surrounded by walls with gates, and in battles, the gates of these cities would usually be the first place their enemies assaulted. This was because the protection of the city was determined by the strength or power of the gates. So the imagery of the gates of hell was something that meant something to those folks because their cities were protected by walls with a gate. And so we see Jesus here speaking. The name Hades was originally the name of the God who presided over the realm of the dead and was often referred to as the house of Hades. It designated the place to which everyone who departs this life descends, regardless of their moral character. In the New Testament, Hades is the realm of the dead, and in verses represented by it, it is represented by this mighty gate. And so Jesus refers here to his impending death. And the point Jesus was making here is that no matter what happens to us, no matter what happens to the church, Satan will never prevail against us. Satan may stop us in our tracks. Satan will try terrible things, but Satan will never prevail. Though he would be crucified and buried, he would raise from the dead and build his church. Jesus is emphasizing the fact that the powers of death could not hold him in. Not only would the church be established in spite of the powers of Hades or hell, but the church would thrive in spite of these powers. The church will never fail. Though generation after generation succumbs to the power of physical death, yet other generations will rise up to perpetuate the church. It is clear that Jesus was declaring that death has no power to hold God's people captive. Its gates are not strong enough to overpower and keep us imprisoned. The gates of hell cannot prevail. Now, friends, I was thinking about this sermon on Monday, and then what happened on Tuesday? What happened? Was it Tuesday or Wednesday? There was the fire in Notre Dame. Who would have thought? And there it was in that great church as it burnt. As the church begins to burn, the picture on your bulletin, the cover of your bulletin, is the picture of the burning section of the church. And the thing that stands clear is the cross of Jesus Christ. I happened to use that picture on the bulletin cover because the bulletins were not made yet. It was striking to me that in the midst of all that fire and debris falling from the sky, that cross stood firm.
Amen.
That cross held up.
Praise the Lord.
Now, I already had my sermon title, thinking about the gates of hell will not prevail. And there was the cross standing there. What a poignant figure. I start thinking, it's not because we're crying that the building is burnt. Yes, we don't want to see a church burnt. Many of us who have gone to Notre Dame, we don't want to see a beautiful building burnt, but churches will be rebuilt. But the symbol of the cross of Jesus Christ that stood so clearly reminds us hell can come. Things can happen, but Christ will always live victorious. And no one can tell me that this is not a sign from God. That this cross did not fall off the ceiling. No one was holding it up but the Spirit of God Himself. And why? To give us the hope that the church will stand. Every time I look at that picture, one of my colleagues sent me a different picture which was clearer. And then somehow I was Googling through Facebook, I saw this picture. And I saw the darkness around it. And the darkness around it would remind one of hell. And there in the midst of it is that cross. How that cross is giving people in France hope today. But how that cross is giving us hope today. That no matter what happens, the cross of Jesus Christ stands. The gates of hell will not prevail, will never prevail. Jesus is telling us that He's going to conquer death. He's going to conquer death on a cross. Let's remember now, Satan has the power of death, and he will always use the power to try to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. But we have the promise from Jesus that His church, the called out people, no matter what we go through, will prevail. And how do we know this? How do we know that this is true? Remember now, friends, this is a seven days that changed the world. And there's a lot of stuff that happened to Jesus before that would not stop Him. To prevail. What does it mean to prevail? Will not what? Succeed. Right? The word prevail means that it will not succeed. This, whatever you do, will not. Prevail means prove more powerful than opposing forces. To prevail is to prove more powerful than opposing forces. To be victorious. To gain ascendancy through strength or superiority. To prevail. That Christ would prevail. Do you not remember that Jesus was denied? Peter denied Jesus three times. Do you remember that story? He would be denied three times. But the gates of hell would not prevail. Could not prevail. Peter denied Him when they came to get Jesus, yet the gates of hell would not prevail. We see on Friday, Pilate took Jesus and had Him flogged, the scripture said. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on His head, and they dressed Him in purple robe. They kept coming up to Him saying, "Hail the King of the Jews," and striking Him on the face. Let us remember. Pilate went out and said to them, "Look, I am bringing Him to you to let you know that I find no case against Him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns, and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, here is your man. And they began to scream, crucify him. They did not know, as we know, that the gates of hell would not prevail. Nothing would stop Jesus from going to the cross. It will never overcome us. Crucify him, they called. Crucify him. Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find nothing against him. And they took him. They took Jesus. After they had given him the cross to carry, after they had beaten him, can't you imagine when Jesus had said to Peter, the gates of hell will not prevail, he was saying it to us and saying it for himself. That there's nothing is going to prevail over him going to the cross. And I could imagine that he, as they began to beat him, in his mind he was made up that what? Nothing is going to prevail. Nothing. When we are going through difficulty, friends, we too can say this. No matter what it is, nothing will prevail. And I want to take this story to the end for you tonight. Why the gates of hell will not prevail against us. That we may suffer in this world, but the gates of hell will not prevail. You'll see why. And then, of course, we know they nailed him to the cross. We have read the stories. We have heard it year after year. They nailed him, stretched him wide, nailed one hand, nailed the other hand, nailed him, and then they put the thorn of crowns upon his head, and the Bible said, and they pushed it into his flesh until his sweat came down like when mixed with his blood. Yet the gates of hell would not prevail. Can't you imagine? And after they had him there, and he had been there for 3 hours, the scripture tells us, on a day like today, 2,000 years ago, as he was sweating and in pain, they would pierce him in the side, and we believe. We're not debating this anymore. We believe. And when he was thirsty and needed something to drink, they gave him vinegar mixed with some water, a sponge soaked in vinegar, and the gates of hell would not prevail. He forgave the robbers who were the criminals who on the cross. He even promised in paradise to one of them who seek forgiveness, because the gates of hell wouldn't prevail over him. Even at that moment, he was thinking of us and of all humanity. And friends, on the cross, even beaten, as he was beaten and stretched out on the cross, what did he do first? He asked for forgiveness for you and for me. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Forgive them, Lord. And then we know that there are 7 sayings that he would say. For example, he would give his mother over to John. He would forgive a criminal, welcome him in paradise. All of that while he was in pain. What a savior we have. And when he went through all of that at the very end, when he knew that the gates of hell could not prevail over him, he would cry out to God, it is finished. He had done the job he had come to do, complete, but he's not done yet. I want to tell you about the gates of hell, you see. He's not finished yet. It is finished. It is finished. The task on the cross was finished. And then what did he do? He says, into your hands I commend my spirit. I have completed the job, Lord. Into your hands, God Almighty, I give you my spirit. And the Bible tells us, after that happened, we know the story, that the whole place shook, darkness came upon the earth, and the temple, the Jewish temple, folks were in that it shook, and the curtains was torn from top to bottom. Signing the power of God reminded me that the cross that stands in Notre Dame in that fire. Can't you see Jesus just holding up that cross as the fire was raging in that altar area to remind us that he lives? To remind the church that he lives? That brick and mortar will fall? Stone and rock will fall? All of that will fall, but he will stand supreme, friends. Can't you imagine? Just as the temple, the curtains were being torn from top to bottom wide open, it's the same thing he reminded us in the 21st century, that this is not a myth. It's not a myth, it's not some metaphor that we're playing around with. It is his word and it's true. It's yea and amen. No one can prevail against the work of God. No one. I remember in the book of Acts, as I'll get back to my text, when the gospel was being spread and the Jewish leader Gamaliel, they were persecuting Christians. And he said to them, he says, listen, if this thing is of God, no one can stop it. If it's not of God, he says, leave it alone. It will die out. That was 2,000 years ago. It will die out, but if it's of God, no one can stop it. Friends, I tell you, it is of God. Jesus wasn't done. Because he had to whip death. He had to go to the grave. And I believe tomorrow on Saturday, as we remember Saturday after they took his body down and they buried him, he had a masterwork to do in the grave. He was going to be whipping Satan so badly. That's why Satan hates the people of God. That's why we are the ones that he comes after. Do you know that? That's why he was tearing down our roof tonight. Didn't want us to have service, you understand. Didn't want us to come to glorify God. Nothing is happenstance. Did not happen last week. It's to remind us tonight that God is in control. That ceiling didn't fall on a human person. Because the angels were protecting Missy as she went in. Glory to God. God is awesome. In every little thing I see the hand of God. In every movement there's the hand of God, friends. That she would have passed and then the ceiling came down. The gates of hell. Satan, you are a liar, we tell Satan tonight. And so, my Bible tells me, we believe on that Saturday night, he was fighting for you and me for what? The hope of eternal life. You see, physical death will always happen. But eternal life was at stake. That we would have eternal life with him. That's what the gates of hell meant. It didn't just mean for that we could live on earth now. It means that the hope of eternal life that we will have with Christ had to be fought for and won in the grave. And so God would take hold of Satan. And as Jamaican folks would say, would put him on the heavy manners. Hold him down in the grave. Not only did he do that, he would whip him in the grave. Whip him and destroy his work in the grave. And it took all night, all day Saturday, friends. All day Saturday, our Savior was whipping the devil. Every now and then I remind Satan, I says, you know, you are defeated. And when he's getting real up into my life, I said to him, you're unemployed. And I'm not employing you anymore. You are no employment in my life because you are unemployed, Satan. Where I'm concerned, you have no place in my life. The gates of hell shall not prevail. So friends, Judas's betrayal would not prevail. I like the shall not. Shall is a future tense, right? Huh? English majors. Shall is, I just thought of that, is a future. Not would not, it shall not. It never will prevail. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for giving me an English lesson now. It shall not prevail. Shall not. It's future. Shall never, never prevail. Expressing the future tense. Expressing a strong assertion or intention. That means it didn't prevail then, and it shall never, never prevail. Church, come on now.
Amen.
Never prevail. It shall not. It has been beaten and whipped in the gates of hell. And guess what? We, the church, we, the ones who believe in Jesus Christ, have the hope of eternal life with him. Because Jesus won the battle. Won the battle on that Saturday night. Body a little bit bruised. You know what? Well, I believe, not that it's in the text, that when he commended his spirit to the Lord, that body with the pierced side and the bruises from the thorns on his head, all of that was made brand new.
Amen.
By the time they lay him out, he had no pain. Everything was made anew again. And he had the strength to fight the legions of hell. So that for you and for me, so that we will have the hope of eternal life. We can have eternal life in him, scripture tells us. And so even though Judas betrayed him, gates of hell would not prevail. Peter's denial 3 times, gates of hell would not prevail. They beat him, arrested him, imprisoned him, but the gates of hell would not prevail. Put the crown of thorns on his head, friends. Say this with me. The gates of hell would not prevail. Shall not prevail. Amen. Amen, sisters. As we pierce in him in the side, but the gates of hell shall not prevail. Come on now. We want to tell the devil tonight, nailing him to the cross, but the gates of hell shall not prevail. Come on, friends. Burning down churches, but the gates of hell shall not prevail. Tearing down our roof, but the gates of hell shall not prevail tonight. Fire at Notre Dame, but the gates of hell shall not prevail. Sickness in our bodies, but the gates of hell shall not prevail. We lost loved ones, but the gates of hell shall not prevail. We got to tell Satan this tonight. The gates of hell. My kids are sick, but the gates of hell shall not prevail. We have financial troubles, but the gates of hell shall not prevail. Fighting custody battles for our kids, but the gates of hell shall not prevail. Because we're believers in Jesus Christ. He has died for his church. Come on now, friends. The gates of hell shall not prevail.
Amen.
Never prevail against us. And so therefore, we are called to persevere. I know I'm not in Queens, hanging out and running wild in the church when I'm preaching sometimes, but I'm among friends here. And you've got to know me now that I could get whipped up for Jesus in a heartbeat. If you let me all night long, I'll be whipped up for Jesus because I stand on his word. And his word is true. The United Methodist Church may be going through schisms and isms. I told one of my colleagues tonight, this morning on the prayer chain, they were getting upset. I said, stop it, for the gates of hell will not prevail against the United Methodist Church.
Amen.
Amen.
Our church will survive. No matter how it looks, let's give God a praise offering. No matter how it looks, no matter how bad it looks, no matter what may happen, the gates of hell will not prevail. We may look like a different United Methodist Church. God doesn't care. We're still the Church of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This day reminds us that victory, we have the victory in Jesus Christ. I tell Satan, don't mess with me, you know. Because anytime he messes with me, I get more determined. He can't kill me, because only God can take my life. But I get more determined when he messes with me. He wants me to get mad, just mess with me. Comes to mess with our church right before Easter. I tell him, do not mess with me because I am going to go down. You know, I'm so mad at him for messing with this church before Easter that I'm going to whip him all night long. Gates of hell shall not prevail against God's people. We will stand. And so Paul tells us here, we're called to persevere. In that Hebrew text, he says, therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, we have confidence. We could enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus. No more do we need a priest. That's what he was fighting hell for. We don't need a priest anymore. You don't need me to enter the Holy of Holies. You could enter it by yourself through the blood of Jesus Christ. Anytime you want to enter it, you could enter it through the blood of Jesus. By the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain. He opened it up through the curtain. We don't have to ask permission to go before God. Do you know that, friends? You could go to God anytime, any place, in your car, in your house, in your kitchen. You could go to God because he opened up the curtain and you and I can enter boldly to the throne of grace and mercy. And since we have a great high priest, you know our great high priest, his name is Jesus Christ, over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from evil. Let us hold fast. Come on, friends, we're going to hold fast. Hold fast to our confession. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful. We hold fast because God is faithful. Do you know what it means to be faithful? It means that he won't turn back. He's faithful. He promised heaven to us. He promised eternal life. And so on Saturday, I'm telling you, on that Saturday, as he was whipping the devil and he laid him low and put him under every manners, he did it so that we will have the hope of eternal life. The gates of hell cannot prevail over eternal life that we have in him. You see, the job was not just the physical work was finished on the cross. But the eternal work had just begun. Glory to God. When he commended his spirit unto the Lord, he was opening up everything for you and me. That all who would accept him would say, yes, Abba Father. All to thee I surrender. All to thee I truly give. Ah, glory to God. I will love and trust him. As we seek God and we call on his name, he welcomes us because he fight a mighty battle for us. The gates of hell shall not prevail. And so, friends, we can stand fast and we can overcome. Because we are overcomers. Because we serve the greatest overcomer the world has ever known. Victorious. When we sing that song, Victory in Jesus, we should sing it and mean it. Because we have the victory. We have the victory. And this victory will never be taken from us as long as we believe in Jesus Christ. And so, friends, I leave you with the word for tomorrow, the sentence. If you get a little weary tomorrow, to get a little weary next week, just tell yourself as you're going through, the gates of hell shall not prevail. If you're going through ups and downs, you just tell yourself, I know I'm going through difficulty, but the gates of hell shall not prevail over my life. The gates of hell shall not have any place in my life. Jesus defeated it. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because we know he holds the future. And we know that he holds our hands. Thanks be to God for his faithfulness. Amen.